the Fade the Noise podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir Nathaniel Lundy. This is the Fade the Noise podcast. And Lundy, we got some huge news before we jumped on to tape this pod here on a hashtag Tequila Thursday, as Nathaniel Hackett is going to be the new coach, head coach of your Denver Broncos. Immediate gut reaction.
I'm okay with it. Like, I can't say that there was anything about any of the coaching the candidates that were out there that necessarily wowed me. I could find things I liked about each one. I could find things I didn't like about each one. And I think that's true of any head coach in the NFL until they've actually proven themselves, especially if you're pulling somebody from, a coordinator or a position coach or whatever type of standpoint. Like, you really don't know. Here's what I am really happy with, though. And that is that George Payton, the general manager of the Broncos, it appeared that Hackett was the guy that he liked. And I like the idea of him going, my bat, my ball, my butt, that he didn't that he didn't listen to. Oh, well, you should get this kind of this was the guy that he liked. And by all accounts, our buddy Woody Page here in Denver, everybody was saying, like, hey, we think Hackett might be the guy. He might be a little bit of a dark horse, but we think he's the guy. And Payton seemed to go with all of that. So I like that part. I like an offensive mind after having, Vance Joseph, and Vic Fangio. And I've talked locally here in Denver about Vic Fangio being Wade Phillips 2.0. He's a phenomenal defensive coordinator. He's a bad head coach. Okay. And I love Wade Phillips to death. But both of those guys are better defensive minds than they are being the head of a team. And so I'm happy to see them go with somebody offensive minded, because I think there's too much talent on this roster that's getting wasted.
No, I completely agree. And look, he's got the track record, and Aaron Rodgers just has sung his praises. And that, you know, opens up the box of the discussion. All right, Rodgers, Adams, they want to be a package deal. There's rumors already flying that they could be headed to Mile High City. And I think this is pouring the foundation for that to actually come to fruition, given the relationship that Rodgers has with Hackett and the implicit trust that Rodgers has in him. And you know that goes an enormous long way when it comes to Aaron. And you look at Hackett, it's just more of, well, of course he's had prolific passing offenses because he's tied one of the all-time greats. But he got it done at Jacksonville. You know, back in 2017, that team was number two in passing offense in terms of yards per game. And then early on in his career in 2013 and 2014, you know, his 16th place finish in total yards overall of the offense, a 14th place finish in total yards overall as well. So he has had above average offenses at every stop along the way, whether with the Bills, whether with the Jags, and of course, most recently with the Packers. So I know it's a betting pod, and there are no odds out yet for the Super Bowl next year, but if all the pieces fall into place, Lundy, I think you're going to be looking at the Denver Broncos as probably one of the strong favorites to hoist a Lombardi trophy around this time next season. I don't think that's outlandish to say, is it?
Yeah, preseason, who the hell knows? I don't know that we had San Francisco doing everything that they're doing right now.
They were 80-1!
Yeah, I know that you say, obviously, we're talking about something that's non-betting related, but can I correlate it together with a betting thing? I put this on Twitter last night. Do you know that DraftKings has Peyton Manning as 80-1 to coach the Raiders?
I did see that, which is outlandish. he'd have better odds of maybe getting an ownership stake in the Raiders.
Here's the crazy part. I would love somebody on the inside at DK to tell me how many bets they actually have on that. I would love to know how many people are like, screw it, I'll put $5 on that. You know, just something stupid.
Yeah, they're watching that Lay's commercial with him and Eli, and then they just have this epiphany. It's an omen. It's a sign. I'm firing off a grand on this. Let it ride. And grabbing another beverage out of the fridge. Yeah, I saw that last night.
That's when you've got FU money.
It is. Yeah, just you want to piss it away, then might as well do it on head coach futures in the NFL. With that, on this hashtag Tequila Thursday, bartender, pour us another edition of the Fade Five.
Number five.
All right, Lundy, you got checked at the boards yesterday, man, in the NHL. It was one of those nights. It does happen. You run hot, you run cold. You've been on a little bit of a mini heater over the weekend, and then the polar vortex swooped in and extinguished it very quickly. So let's turn this ship around, man. Let's try to drop the puck and actually make some bucks in hockey tonight. What do you like?
Yes, we collectively, our betting looked a lot like Nathan MacKinnon's face last night in that Avs Bruins game, where he got knocked out in the within the first couple of minutes of the game and didn't return. Our betting last night was putrid. So you might want to turn the ship around. I'd like to turn this shit around. So let's do it here. And I'm going to focus in on another total, which probably means I'm going to get kicked in the jewels again. But we're going to do it tonight. Las Vegas, the Golden Knights, will be down in America's Wang. They're taking on the Florida Panthers. These are two teams that play at a pace and score at a pace that I was actually surprised that this total might not have actually opened at a flat seven. It is sitting at 6.5. You look at the Vegas Golden Knights, they have scored three or more goals in four out of their last five games. The Panthers are already the number one team in the NHL in scoring per game. So you combine those two things together. The Vegas has been scoring a lot of goals, even on the road. I got a little bit concerned that they weren't going to be able to do that on the road the way that they do at home in Sin City, but they have been doing it. So I'm going to put those two things together. We're going to take the over. It's juiced just slightly up right now on DraftKings. It's at minus 130. I would expect that to climb throughout the morning here as more people start to make the bet. But these two teams, the way they go up and down the ice, slightly suspect goaltending at times, but it really comes down to having two prolific offenses, and I don't think 6.5 is enough. I think this is a 4-3, maybe even a 5-3 final by the time we're done.
Oh, you had me at over, Lundy. Put the biscuit in the basket and let's make some bucks.
Number four.
All right, let's go to the NBA, and I'm going to work in a little same game parlay. And for those of you that have been consuming the new television show Live on the Line, thank you. I think there's only six of you that exist. But I have had some beef with Joel Embiid, because every time I bet against him, he embarrasses me, Lundy. So enough is enough. I am on the Embiid train. I'm going to try to right the ship here, give me some positive juju as a result, and pay homage to one of the great big men in the NBA. And I'm going to do this on the same game parlay. Put together a DraftKings at plus 130. Embiid and the 76ers taking on the Lake Show tonight. Yes, Anthony Davis is back, still knocking off the rust after missing 17 games in total. But I think Embiid's going to go out there and do work. So give me Embiid, 25-plus points. Embiid, 11-plus rebounds. And uno, one block shot. If I get all three of those legs again at plus 130, he has done all these three legs in a game in six of his last seven matchups. In the month of January, he is averaging 34.5 points per game, 10.8 rebounds per game, and nearly a block and a half per game. Now, the Lakers, number 17 in the NBA in adjusted defensive efficiency, so they are down compared to prior years in that category. And they have not rebounded the ball effectively, and that's even with Anthony Davis on the floor a good chunk of the first month and a half of the season. Number 23 in the association in rebounds per game allowed. So I'm going to ride those fiery fingers of Embiid. I'm going to pay, again, I'm going to sacrifice some chicken wings, a few beers, whatever is necessary at the altar of the gambling gods to get back on Embiid's good side. So don't do me dirty, Joel. Give me a winner here again on the same game parlay, 25-plus points, 11-plus rebounds, and a block shot at plus 130. Lundy, will the gambling gods shine kindly down upon thee?
Well, certainly hoping that they're going to, but I will tell you this. Your stat that has me concerned, honest to good, is the rebounds. I know the way the Lakers are, but it's the rebounding stat that has me concerned. Here's what I can tell you, folks, if you're listening. Follow Brad. He's got to, he's got to bow down. He's got to do the, like, Wayne and Garth, we're not worthy, to try to get back on Embiid's good side. But I can tell you this. If you take that rebounding mark from 11 to 10, so all he's got to do is get you to the double-double, right? He's got to get the points. Yep. He's got to get the boards. It takes it – you're going to lose some juice. It takes it from a plus 130, but it's still a plus 100. So it's even money if you were to knock the rebound down. I'm a little bit worried that he gets to 10 and that's it. I do like this. I think this is a great same game parlay all tied to Embiid. The only one that has me a little bit nervous is the boards. And that's why I said if you took it down a notch, you're still at plus 100. I think you're safe. But if you wanted to give yourself a buffer, that'd be the only spot that has me worried.
Showcase some magnet hands and squeeze the rock, Joel.
Number three.
All right, let's move on to college basketball. And I'm going to dig deep here. And we're going to focus on a team I believe that I have featured a couple of times before on this podcast. And it is actually Team USA, because that's what the initials are for this university. The University of Southern Alabama, or South Alabama, taking on the Troy Trojans. Of course, the Jaguars are the nickname of South Alabama. They're in the Sun Belt Conference, and I think they're one of the class teams in this league. And I have had a lot of good fortune wagering on Richie Riley's club this season, and I'm going to lay the 6.5 in this home matchup, and a pivotal one to try to get superiority within the Sun Belt Conference against Troy, and this is a minus 110. This is a classic case of top offense versus top defense. The USA ranks number one in offensive efficiency in Sun Belt play. Troy, number one in defensive efficiency. Now, the Trojans, however, are number 251 in effective field goal percentage offense, so putting the ball through the cylinder has been a chore, to say the least. And I can tell you this about watching the Jaguars. Yes, I've actually watched a couple of their games this season. They are full of slashers that attack the 10. They're not three-point reliant. Only 27.4% of their points come from distance. But off the bounce, they can be deadly, particularly Javon Franklin, I believe is an Auburn transfer. And that guy has netted 67.8%, Lundy, inside the arc this season. One of the more efficient and prolific scorers from two-point land. So off the bounce, he's going to rock the rim, kiss a few off the glass, maybe hit some mid-range jumpers. I think South Alabama will win this thing by 8+ going away, a team that shoots north of 70% at the charity stripe, so they should be able to slam the door. So Lundy, fade or follow, USA, USA, minus 6.5 against Troy. Again, minus 110 at DraftKings.
It's funny to hear you say USA being tops in offensive efficiency, because our country really doesn't strike me as something being efficient at just about anything. Well, right,
see container ships somewhere in a bay near you.
Yes, exactly. There's not a lot of things about our country right now that are all that efficient. I wouldn't categorize that. Have you seen them trying to, you know, like patch the asphalt, you know, in your on the, you know, roads leading to your neighborhood? No. It takes like 17 guys in about 4 weeks, and they're filling a hole the size of a Tupperware container. So I'm going to follow on this one just because, you know, I think we could just start chanting USA. I would assume they do that at the games. I've never had a chance to attend a South Alabama.
That would be a
contest.
Lost opportunity if they have not done that there in South Alabama inside the Mitchell Center. Capacity crowd of 10,000.
There you go. I like this. All right. So I will follow on this one just because I'm excited about the USA being good at something.
All right. Good. The Russians, though, I think would disagree. At least I got that from all the Rocky movies. All right. Moving on here on today's pod. Stick around for our top picks in college basketball. Plus, yeah, additional action in bonus time.
Number two.
All right, let's get to it. And let's go now to the American Athletic Conference and one of the greatest mascots in all of college sports. I'm talking about Petey Pirate, who represents the East Carolina University crowd. East Carolina taking on Penny Hardaway and the Memphis Tigers, who have been a wee bit of a disappointment, you could say, this season. And I'm going to go with East Carolina, and I'm going to take them at plus 13 in this game. Now, you look at Memphis here, the last three games out, really dreadful offensively, under 1.00 points per possession scored over that stretch. And defensively, too, they have come unraveled. Number 9 in the AAC in effective field goal percentage D. Now, ECU knocked off Memphis recently. Earlier this month on January 15th, they beat the Tigers 72-71 at home. This is a team that shoots over 35% from downtown, and Memphis has really struggled shackling the perimeter, giving up 37.8% from distance. So there in the end, yar, shiver me timbers. PD Pirates going to get the job done, and it's spelled P-E-E, like, you know, you got to go number one, which I think Penny Hardaway has done all over himself pretty much all season long. So Lundy, fade or follow, the Pirates getting you some booty at plus 13 in Memphis against this woeful Tigers club, minus 110 at DraftKings.
Yeah, Penny Hardaway can, like, it seems like he can recruit, like he can bring in some players.
Oh, yeah, he's got a strong backdrop game.
Then he doesn't know what to do with them. Yeah. It's like, you guys just go out there. I need five of you, five of you. Yes, I need five of you to go out on the court and put the round thing into, you know, the thing up there. You put it in there. Okay, break. he's been awful, despite having some pretty good talent on that roster. So let's see how the transfer portal treats him at the end of the season. yeah, this could get a little bit ugly. I like the idea of ECU covering, Brad, but let me preemptively ask you a question.
Okay.
For those listening to the podcast right now. This line is already down to 12.
Holy cow! I got it 13.5, and then I woke up this morning and it was 13. At 12? Hell yes.
You still do it at 12.
Okay. I don't trust anything with Memphis right now.
There you go. But I wanted to go ahead and ask because I could see people listening to the pod right now that are going to go online and they're going to be like, damn it, it's at 12. So I thought I would go ahead on behalf of the 7.2 million people that listen to this pod, give or take, you know, 7.2 million, whether or not you would still play it. Because I think I would, just how bad Memphis has been this season. But I wanted to make sure you were still on board.
Yeah, and there's the track record. I know this has got revenge game, you know, that narrative if you want to drive down that street. But again, completely untrustworthy. That's Little Penny and his Memphis Tigers.
Number one.
My top play in the world of college basketball. And by the way, I've been having a pretty good week here on the pod. I think we went 3-for-3 a couple of nights ago yesterday.
Geez. Now you're screwed.
Yesterday, you're screwed. Yeah, I think I just ruined the mojo. Yesterday we had a profitable night, and I think it's going to be a highly profitable night for Purdue Pete. And I'll break out the and sledgehammer. And I think Purdue Pete's always walking around the sledgehammer anyway, so it's very convenient. On the over, 79.5 points in the team total at Iowa against the Hawkeyes. And you know Mount Fran is already starting to bubble, Lundy. A couple of calls not going to go his way, and he's going to outright erupt on the floor. So I wish that we could get an anytime technical prop on Fran McCaffrey, because I'd probably wager on that on a routine basis. But, man, I love Purdue Pete tonight. And I think they're really going to pound the pavement in this game. Number one in the country in adjusted offensive efficiency on the season at 1.242 points per possession. Score, they're shooting over 40% from three and over 57% inside the arc. The Hawkeyes simply do not have the size to match up with a very uniquely talented Zach Edey at 7'4" and a wide body at that. Great touch around the rim. And, of course, Travion Williams as well. Who can really back down defenders and splash it through the cylinder. Plus, he's got eyes in the back of his head. I've said this before, and I'll quadruple down on it. I think he is the best big man passer in all of college basketball. And Jaden Ivey, though he's got a tender hip, is probable to play tonight. Future multimillionaire in the NBA. He's going to be a lottery pick in short order. Just too many weapons. You add in Sasha Stefanovic, who's shooting over 40% from distance. Thompson shooting over 40% from three as well. And Iowa number 126 in effective field goal percentage. And two, you know the Hawkeyes love to play at a fast pace. So the tempo really is going to support the argument here as Purdue will race their way into the 80s here at the end. And I kind of like him, too, a little early bonus time at minus 2.5 in this contest. So, Lundy, fade or follow, Purdue over 79.5 team total points, minus 115 at DraftKings. And give me your thoughts, too, if you don't mind, on Purdue laying the 2.5 on the road there inside Carver Hawkeye.
If I like the idea of laying the 2.5. I think I'm okay with that. I think if they win, they can do it by a 3 or more. But, Brad, I have a gift for you.
Oh, please. Yes, yes.
I have an audio gift that I will present to you through the speakers.
Yeah.
The team total at DraftKings is down to 77.5.
What? No, okay. Continue on with the pod. I'm going to have to go in there and now wager on this. I'm dead serious. I'm going to double down on that. Is absurd. How is it down to 77.5? That doesn't make any damn sense. You know what? This is a double unit wager for me now. It's a double unit wager. That is crazy. All right, continue.
That's the analysis I'm throwing out there right now. I'm like, well, son of a bitch. I mean, if we like it at 79.5 and you're going to give me another 2 points of a cushion, oh, hell yeah. And so to me, I actually, instead of, I like the idea of Purdue -2, -2.5, depending upon what book you're looking at. It's the hook is either there or it's not. I don't mind that one, but I think because this team total has come down, I'd almost rather do what you just said. Instead of worrying about the -2.5, I'd almost rather just double down on the team total, and then I don't give a shit who wins.
This just in, it is confirmed I have multi-united the over on 77.5. Thank you for that breaking news. That is very beneficial. Hey, that's crazy. 2 points shaved off.
Occasionally I'm here to help. I mean, for the most part, I'm just kind of like a foil, and I throw some bad hockey picks out and things like that's what I do here on the pod. I figured that I would sneak that out there and let everybody know that if you like this one as much as Brad does, you just bought yourself a 2-point cushion.
You are the sweetest carrier pigeon I've ever ran into in my entire life, Lundy. So I appreciate you delivering that news. And yeah, I'm dead serious. I just hammered the over on the 77.5. Again, I liked it at 79.5. Now I'm getting 2 free points. So hopefully both of those will hit, as I believe they will, getting in the 80s there with Purdue Pete. All right, Lundy.
That's a beautiful thing, man.
It's tasty. It's very tasty.
I love it.
All right, before we get out of here, it's bonus time. Anything else you like across the smorgasbord of sports?
Yeah, there's a couple of them. A couple of heavy favorites tonight that you got a couple of routes that you can go. The Rangers are taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets there as once again we try to dot the I in Ohio, which apparently I did not do a very good job of. That matchup right there, the Rangers should be able to handle it. I'm going to take New York in regulation, so I'm going to bring that heavily juiced money line down to only a -135 by them to be able to win it on the 60-minute line. And then there's another team. This one, I'm going to tell you, you go with whichever gut you want. You can take Carolina against Ottawa. And Carolina, again, in regulation to bring the juice way down, but it's still pretty high at a -155. So I would either pair that together with the Rangers, or if you want to get crazy with the cheese whiz, if you take Carolina -1.5, if they just absolutely lay the stick to the Senators tonight, that one's at a +105. So if you're feeling a little frisky, I would take Carolina -1.5. On the plus odds. But if you get a little bit concerned about a late goal or something like that, then take them in regulation instead and maybe even pair it up with the Rangers. Get yourself a little two-legger there on the ice.
All right, I like that quite a bit. Let's go back to college basketball, shall we? How about a 4-leg money line parlay, Lundy? Why not? Let's get crazy here on this Thursday.
Yeah, I've already given you a gift with Purdue. You might as well start wasting your winnings.
I played with house money, and I haven't even – the game hasn't even been played. We haven't even tipped it yet. I mean, Fran hasn't even drawn the first technical of the game. But I'm going to take Wisconsin on the road against Nebraska, who hasn't played over a week due to another COVID pause and some issues within that program. They'll handle business there inside Pinnacle Bank. Give me Towson, who just played Delaware, beat him on the road. Now they're at home, and I think they'll get the season sweep and back to backs. Give me USC, who is rocking and rolling right now very quietly, one of the better defensive teams in the land. They're taking on Stanford at home. And give me the Racers of Murray State, a dangerous and explosive offensive team, unblemished right now inside the OVC. They're on the road and an inferior Tennessee Tech club. All four of those hit: Wisconsin, Towson, USC, Murray State, on just winning straight up, +141 at DraftKings Sportsbook. Elsewhere, too, I like Minnesota tonight, catching 6.5 against the Ohio State. I have to say that so I don't get sued for copyright infringement. I know there's some issues with Minnesota. We don't know if Curry's going to be back. He's been dealing with an ankle injury. He's a game-time decision. Battle has been fighting a non-COVID-related illness. He's one of their top scorers. Hopefully, he will be cleared to go. I think it's the flu. From some reading some inside information, there is a lean that he will be in uniform, and Stevens is back. He had a bout of COVID, but will be on the floor. So Minnesota will be at or near full strength, hopefully, tonight. And I think the paint patrolling will get the job done against Ohio State. 59.2% of the Golden Gophers' points comes inside the arc, and Ohio State's defense has given up at least 1.12 points per possession in two of their last three games. And on the late night tip, if you don't like watching high-scoring basketball, I would not recommend consuming this. But I do like the under on the team total for St. Mary's. It's 64.5 against the Dons of San Francisco. Very bubblicious game. Maybe not so much for SFO, but certainly for St. Mary's, who needs this. They're an advanced analytics darling, but the resume, you know, they do have the win on a neutral court against Oregon. They beat Missouri State, which is a better than you think win at home. But outside of that, they could use one here. But San Francisco, outstanding defensively, number 20 in the nation, and adjusted offensive efficiency. San Francisco plays at, you know, a higher above average pace. But St. Mary's, the antithesis of that. They want to play a slog in the half court. Scoring the basketball at times has been problematic, though they've scored better and WCC action. Still, this game may be in the upper 50s by the time the final buzzer sounds. So, again, I'll take the under on 64.5 on that St. Mary's team total. And there you have it. That is a wrap on this edition of the Fade the Noise podcast. Follow Lundy on Twitter at Nate Lundy. Follow me there at Noisy Huevos. Drop us a rating and a review if you enjoy this podcast. And as always, until next time, feed or follow. That is up to you.
Feed the Noise.